So, in this session, I'm going to talk about why on earth would you bother backing up to Azure. I'm going to talk about the infrastructure behind backing up to Azure, that's backup vaults, talk about setting that up, and I'm going to show you how to do all of this. We'll actually run Windows Azure Backup, and then we'll actually look at integrating DPM 2012 R2, although supported in DPM 2012 SP1, but I'd wait until R2 RTMs, so that you can use Windows as your offsite backup. So, let's talk about the trouble with offsite backup. Who here sends backups offsite? Who here finds it a cumbersome, troublesome, bureaucratic, annoying process? Who here finds it a wonderful, enjoyable, fun process? Yes. Oh, well, there you go. Who do you use?
RSync.
Pardon?
RSync, that's just script.
Yeah, okay. So the trouble with offsite backup is that you do need to have a way of ensuring that your backup data gets offsite on a regular basis. It doesn't have to be every synchronization every 15 minutes, but it does need to be done so that if you have a complete disaster where you lose your site, you can go and recover. Now, anybody here lose a site during the Brisbane floods? Yep, we had one up the back. So we've had site loss. If you look at Katrina in New Orleans, you look at what happened in New York, we had site loss. So people think, oh no, this will never happen to us, until suddenly they manage to actually completely flood the server room. There is also, and this is a big one around backup, the idea of compliance responsibilities. There is a ton of legislation, primarily in the US, but coming to places like Australia, where the government is demanding that as part of your responsibility, as in part of your compliance obligations in a lot of fields, that you must ensure that you have rigorous offsite backup. So, it's cumbersome, it's costly. Now, the other problem is recovery from offsite locations. If you're shipping tapes out with a courier to some offsite location, and then you need to go and recover that data, then you find out how good your offsite service is. Because, you know, sometimes they've got them all very well catalogued and they can go and find it within 5 minutes. And sometimes is, well, we know it's in there somewhere, we'll have to go and find it. Who here has ever had problems restoring data from offsite? No one. Who here has had wonderful experiences restoring data from offsite? A couple. Yeah, okay, well that's good. I mean, that's what you're paying for, because it's one of those things that you kind of pay for, it's like insurance. You don't know how good it is until you actually have to use it. But again, it's one of those things that you've got to sit there and go, okay, well how good is it? You know, who here has done an offsite recovery drill in the last 6 months? Okay, that's not so good. You should be doing your offsite recovery drills. You should be doing decent disaster recovery drills where you're actually checking what's going on a fairly frequent basis. Maybe not every 6 months, but certainly every calendar year. Because again, you don't know how good your preparations are until you are this deep. And you want to know when you are this deep that you know how to swim and get out of that. So, in addition to not a replacement for, where Windows Azure Backup's coming in is that you will still be doing synchronization on-site. So you'll still be doing your on-site backups, and that will be your primary point of recovery. Depending on your compliance obligations, you also have to go and do long-term storage. In some organisations, it's 5 years. In the US, it's often 7 years. That you've got to be able to come back to, you've got to have 7 years of data before you can go and destroy it. So Windows Azure Backup sits somewhere in between there. It's allowing you to supplement your existing backups, but it's not a complete replacement for shipping tapes off-site. But when the change is that when you're shipping tapes off-site now, what you're thinking about is you're thinking about those long-term retention and compliance responsibilities. That when you're going back to those tapes, it's because for some discovery reason or something like that, someone said, we need to have a look at what your backups look like 3 years ago. Your backup is maybe you've lost your backup server or your local backup target where you're backing up to the SAN, maybe you've lost that, and you need to do a backup from yesterday, a recovery from yesterday, or that you need somewhere to back up until you've gone and replaced that. So it's a point in time, it's a supplement. So you back up frequently on site, and then you might back up once every 8 to 12 hours to Azure. Almost all of your restore operations are going to be still using your on-site stuff. It's an extra layer of protection. It's also quite important to point out it is not, in brackets, yet a fully featured solution. That is because at the moment, Windows Azure Backup and Recovery Vaults in Azure are in preview mode. Now, this is not Google preview mode, where it stays in preview for several years. What's happening with Azure is, as you will be slightly aware if you've played with it. Now, I'm doing a session tomorrow morning called Deploying Minecraft on Windows Azure, which sounds quite fun and all light and bubbly and a bit of a joke session, but actually the whole point of the session is, if you're unsure how Windows Azure IaaS works, this is a great introductory session to go and figure it out. So we just get a fun workload and we go and deploy it and we do things, because a lot of IT pros that I've talked to go, we don't really get Azure. We see it being demoed, but we don't understand how to use it in our own environment, because we can't quite get our heads around it. We've got most of it down, but doing it in a fun way is a nice way of introducing it. And then we'll just run a Minecraft server, and if you've got a Minecraft client, you'll all be able to play with one another across the session, the whole thing. So that's tomorrow morning at 8:15. Anyway, so when I'm coming back to Windows Azure Backup. Now, the retention period is, if you're using the Azure client, the straight Azure client, 30 days. If you're using DPM and you're doing one sync a day from DPM, you're going to get 120 days. You can also push DPM to do two syncs a day, and that will give you 60 days. So first thing to look at, if you're looking at, say, competing products, and they're not necessarily directly competing, but offering, say, backup to cloud, you've got something like Iron Mountain. Now, Iron Mountain and some other vendors will say, not only can you sync to our backups, we will then take that, and then we will go and create backup tapes from that, and then we'll go and put them in the vault for 7 years. Some will do that, others won't. One of the other things that you've got to do if you are doing backup off-site to the cloud is actually understand what you are getting. There are many organizations in the US who have gone and said, right, we're getting rid of the guy sending the tapes off-site, we're backing up to this cloud provider, and then there's a compliance audit, and then they've found that the cloud provider actually doesn't keep those tapes. Why? Because they didn't tick that box when they were ordering it, because no one thought, oh, you know, maybe they're keeping it all in service. No, your cloud providers keep it on easy to recover storage for a certain amount of time, and then of course it goes away. There is a retention period involved. So be very aware when you're using a cloud provider for backup what your retention period is of data. Now, there's no tape export and retention of Azure. That means that at the Azure end, there is no one wandering around one of those huge warehouse data centers running tapes for your Azure backup workload. There's a whole lot of insane redundancy built into Windows Azure. But at the moment, they're not offering you that service. You can go and plug this into Azure, or you can plug it into your local site, and primarily you'd be using this as a on-site to the cloud solution. Question?
Does the concept of tape actually still retain the same value with a virtual tape library?
When you're starting to think about, one of the ways that they're trying to think about tape is it's like stone tablets. It's that you are using it as a long-term solution. In best of all worlds, you're not going back to tape. The issue with tape has always been speed, reliability. And the one thing tape's really good at is you take a backup, you go and put it in a sealed environment, and you can keep it for many, many, many years, which, you know, you want to keep using your hard drives. You don't necessarily want to do that. So when you're talking about virtual tapes, what you're really talking about is something that looks like a tape that's stored on a hard disk. So it does. It's not doing what you really want it to do. It's just an abstraction that's... So before I get into the absolute details, what you're interested in is what on earth does this cost? So, you pay only for the data stored. Windows Azure does not give you, does not charge you for data going into the data center. So it doesn't matter how much stuff you're uploading, they're only going to charge you for what's being stored. And the way that works is it's done on a per month basis. So if you're using a pay-as-you-go plan, that is that if you just sign up to Windows Azure and say, I don't want a subscription, I just want my monthly bill, you will get your first 5 gigabytes free, and then you're going to pay 25 cents per gigabyte stored up in the cloud. If you are on one of their subscription plans where you've signed up for 6 months or 12 months, you get your first 5 gig free, and then it's either 17 to 20 cents per gig. Now, one of the things I'm going to come back to in a sec is that when you are thinking of what data you're backing up to the cloud, this is what's very different from the sort of data that you're going to be synchronizing on a day-to-day basis. Because on a day-to-day basis, you're thinking about things like full server recovery. You're going to recover everything. The stuff you're shunting out to the cloud is your irreplaceable data. The data that you have to actually sit people down at desks where they've got to type it into an Excel spreadsheet. It's something that your organization is generating that cannot be replaced by just getting it off an installation disk downloaded from a vendor. Yes? Okay, so this is what's actually stored in Azure. So for example, you do a backup, and let's say you do a 100 gig backup, and then after that, you're doing block level syncs. So your 100 gig goes up there, and then the next backup might be 100 meg. So you're only paying for 100 gig and 100 meg.
So, assuming there's some type of compression that...
Yeah, it's compressed, and we'll talk a little more about encryption as well. The actual amount that's sitting in Azure after it's all... Yep. Okay, so this is what is at rest in Azure after Azure's done all of its stuff. And now Azure has its own built-in dedupe and things like that. So again, you've got things like that. And when we talk about DPM, we'll talk about dedupe and blah, blah, blah. Yep, question.
You said you don't pay for data transferred up.
Yes.
Does that mean if you pull down?
That's a good question. I believe probably not, because it'll recognize you as... usually with Azure, it's when people are pulling it off the internet directly. But the other thing is, of course, with Azure, except for in a particular circumstance, yeah, of course you aren't going to be pulling it down.
You built it egress, but not for ingress.
Yes. So, probably. But again, with it being in preview, they haven't made this entirely clear at this point. But it's likely that you would. But again, it's very likely that with Windows Azure, 99.9% of your traffic for backup is going to be...
Which is free.
Yes. So, backup, as I said, your absolutely critical data. Now, when we go into DPM, you'll see that you can actually configure separate settings for what's going on up to Azure, as opposed to what's going on your normal sync. And the same is with the Windows Azure backup client itself. And I'll explain a little bit more about that. Remember that this is, in a certain way, it's a worst case scenario solution. It's that I've got the data there, I've lost a site, I need to be able to pull the data. The advantage of this is that all you need is the software and go click, 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 you connect to your Windows Azure subscription, and then you can pull it straight down. So you're, in terms of being off-site recovery, that's great, you go to your DR site, and then you just pull it all straight down from Azure. So, why backup? You might have a failure of your on-site backup solution. It does provide cheap off-site storage that allows for very easy recovery of data. Pulling data out of Azure and connecting another backup client to that to recover is insanely simple, because all you do is I'll actually show you how to do it. You just generate a certificate, connect it to the recovery vault, register the server. As long as you've got the encryption passphrase, you can pull the data down from Azure. It's a medium term, not a short term or a long term, offsite backup storage solution. So if you're using DPM, you've got your 120 days of sync points. So now that I've sort of given the general spiel about what's going on, the first thing you need to know, who here has actually spun up a Windows Azure account? Anybody? Good. Okay, so who here knows what a management certificate is? Okay. Management certificates are all over the place in Windows Azure. If you want to use PowerShell to manage Windows Azure, you've got to set up a management certificate. Now, there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can go and get one from your CA. But the thing is, with for 99% of the time, you don't need a publicly signed certificate. You can actually download a tool that's part of the Visual Studio dev kit called MakeCert. And it's a very small file, and it's a self-signed certificate generator. I'll show you how that works. You create a self-signed certificate, you upload that, that identifies both the subscription and the computer that you're going to connect to it, and it uses that for authentication and authorization. So it allows an encrypted session to be set up. So as opposed when you go and register your server, as long as you've gone and set up your recovery vault and you've connected your certificate, you don't have to then go and keep retyping in your Azure subscription and password, because it basically says, oh, this certificate goes and looks at it in Azure, right, I know what to connect this to. You can use the same management certificate for Windows PowerShell management of Azure and a whole lot of other things. So you will find a large number of things, as more services come online, you can use the same certificate or you can go and easily generate another one. So this is the code if you're using MakeCert. And what I'll do is I'll show you quickly now how this works. And all you're doing here is you're basically specifying the type of certificate, the length, the expiry date. This is important here, is to make sure that you know your expiry date. If you forget what your expiry date is, then you're going to have a whole lot of fun on the 1st of January 2016 when your backups stop working. So, sorry. So what I'm doing now is I am jumping into a server called TechEd Server 1. And what I'll do is I'll just give me a full screen for a moment. I will open a command prompt or a PowerShell prompt. Now in this directory here, I've got makecert.exe. And all I do here is I'm going to make sure that this is typed correctly. Hit enter, and there we go. So that's succeeded, and you can see there that I've got teched1.svr1.cer. Now, MakeCert also does the nice thing of automatically installing that certificate in the appropriate certificate store on the server that it's installed in. So I don't have to import that certificate or do anything else. That's done. So the next thing I'm going to do, I'll come back to the slides. Recovery vaults. So in Windows Azure, you create these special containers called recovery vaults. A recovery vault is what's going to store your backed up data. You can have multiple recovery vaults. You can have multiple servers using a single recovery vault. It's purely a matter of how you want to organize it. Now, remember, you pay for the data stored across all your recovery vaults, so it doesn't matter if you've got 15 or 1 or 500. The reason that you have more than one recovery vault is each recovery vault, you associate management certificates with it, which says which backup clients can send data to and recover data from. Now, that means that if you want to segment who can back up data and who can recover data from particular servers, you go and create separate recovery vaults. So if you've got Jim, Mark, and Svetlana, and you want them to back up 15 servers, you create a recovery vault, you allow them. But if you've got a separate set of backups where you don't want them to have access, you create a new recovery vault, you set up different servers that can go and talk to that recovery vault. There's no extra charge for extra vaults. Allows you to segment your backup data. Now, even though you might have multiple servers backing up to the same recovery vault, when you configure a server connection to the recovery vault, you come up with an encryption passphrase. Only someone who has that encryption passphrase is able to recover data from that server's backups in a recovery vault. So Svetlana knows the encryption password for server A, but doesn't know it for server B, and Jim knows it for server B, but not server A, it still means that Svetlana can only pull server A's backups back as a recovery, and Jim can only pull server B's. So let me show you creating a recovery vault. So to create a recovery vault, what we need to do is we need to go into the Windows Azure Management Console. So I've already set up an Azure subscription. Again, tomorrow in the Minecraft session, I'm actually going to go right through the whole thing from, I'm not going to put my credit card up on the screen, but show you the whole process of doing that. Okay, so what I do is I go down here, I go New, I go to Data Services, I click Recovery Services, New Backup Vault, I click Quick Create, and it asks me for a name. So, Oren TechEd 2. The next thing I do is specify my region. Now, we're still in preview, and because we're still in preview, only a very small section of the Windows Azure data centers actually support this at the moment. When this goes RTM, and in 2014, when the Sydney and the Melbourne Windows Azure data centers come online, you will be able to have this data get written to Windows Azure data centers that are obviously in Sydney and Melbourne. So that will meet, again, some of your compliance issues about not offshoring data. But at the moment, it's still in preview. So if you are using a Windows Azure subscription now, you will be aware that West US is actually the quickest link we have, because even if you're in Southeast Asia, it bumps through West US anyway. So go and use West US, and that's also one of their data centers that's actually got the most features available at the moment. So I click Create Vault. So what happens there is it goes and creates the vault Oren TechEd 2. Now, again, with Windows Azure, this can take 10 seconds, it can take 30 seconds, just depending on the particular load at the time. So what I do here is I wait for this to come up. That's one of the nice things about when you video all your demos, you can cut out every bit of waiting. So hopefully, I won't get you all to sing like I did last year. So when that's actually come up, we go into recovery services, and we can see there, I've already got a TechEd AU1, which I had before, and we can see here that that's creating. Now, if I go back to the one I created before, while that other one's creating, I can actually show you what you can see from within the vault. So you can see here what's been protected, and you'll actually see part of what the demo already is. And it's saying, I've gone on this particular server, I've gone and protected this particular folder, and I can also see the servers that are actually registered with that recovery vault here. So you can see there that in this case, I'd gone, because I've obviously pre-done and checked all my demos, these are the servers I'm going to be registering throughout the rest of it. So here we've got Oren TechEd 2, the one we've just created. First thing I need to do is I need to get the certificate that I just created on this server. So if I go to C, and it was in the certs directory, I've got TechEd server 1. I upload that. So what that does is it binds that certificate to that recovery vault for the purposes of identification. Now that that's up there, I've now got the option of downloading the backup agent. So I go download the agent for Windows Server. Do you want to save this? So save as. put it on the desktop. And that comes down. Okay, so what I'll do is open the folder and run the installer. So what this is doing is this is putting the agent on. Now this agent works both for Windows as your backup client. It's also the same agent that's used for Data Protection Manager if you've got a DPM server. So I'll show you the first one, and then when a little later I'll get into Data Protection Manager. So again, it provides you with everything you need. It just says, hey, have you got PowerShell? And of course I do. Now at this stage, it's supported on 2008, 2008 R2, 2012, 2012 R2. So here I'm not going to use Microsoft Update. I click install, and what it does is it actually now installs a backup utility that looks very, very similar to Windows Server Backup. And remember, you would use this in conjunction, sort of, with Windows Server Backup. So I'll just get rid of that. Get rid of that, minimize, minimize. And I'll just go back to my slides. So you've just seen that, I've installed that. So Windows is your backup. Now it's similar to and can run in conjunction with Windows Server Backup. The key to understand about the Azure Backup client is that it's a one-server client. You install it on one server and it backs up that server. Okay, anybody who knows the advantage of DPM is that DPM allows you to back up a lot of servers. But Windows Server Backup allows you to back up that local server. So remember that the Azure Backup client, only one server. Now you can use multiple Windows as your backups to back up to a single recovery vault. Yep.
How big was that recovery vault that you just created?
It grows as large as it needs to go. Okay, so there's no limit on the amount of data that you can have stored up there. Just remember that you're going to pay for it. There is limitations on the amount of data that Windows Azure Backup, not DPM, Windows Azure Backup can back up per volume in a single session. So Windows Azure Backup will choke if you try to do more than 850 gigabytes per volume per backup. So that if your initial snap of a volume is more than 850 gigabytes, that's where you need to either move your data around so it's on multiple volumes or start using DPM. So multiple 850 gig volumes is okay. Bigger workloads, of course, should go and use DPM because you're starting to move out of that sort of comfort zone. You can also not use it for full server recovery. Windows as your backup, as the small client, is about backing up, backing up individual files. Yes, you can do a volume backup and then you can go and recover the volume, but you're not doing it as a volume recovery. You're essentially taking the folder tree and bringing it back. DPM, yes, but again, think about your scenarios that you're using this for. This is not where you're doing necessarily with this sort of thing, wanting to go and, say, pull a whole server back out of Windows Azure because that's going to be very large. Now, Windows Azure Backup, like Windows Server Backup, is somewhat application aware. You'll notice if you've ever run Windows Server Backup on a server that's got Exchange on it, it knows where all of the Exchange stuff is, it knows where all the SQL stuff is. So you can just do a SQL recovery or an Exchange recovery. So let me show you Windows Azure Backup and Recovery. So here we've got our Windows Azure Backup client. It initializes the agent, and the first thing I need to do now is actually register this server with Windows Azure. So I click Register Server. It says, do you want to use a proxy server? So it supports using a proxy, and it supports authentication against the proxy. Vault identification, I click Browse, and what it does is it looks through my local certificate store for a certificate that's got the right identifiers. Now in this case, because I used MakeCert, it automatically pre-populated that. So I just click on that, and I click OK. What it does then is it uses that certificate, contacts Azure, and says, where's the partner of that certificate? And what it does is it gives me a drop down. Now, if I've got that one certificate, I can have that one certificate actually registered with multiple backup vaults. So I can have one server backing up to different backup vaults, should I so choose. In this case, it said, well, you've got it for Orin TechEd 2. That's located in the West US, and this is your Windows Azure subscription ID, which is a nice GUID. Of course, we all remember our GUIDs, so we can be absolutely sure that that's our one, but you can actually look around your Windows Azure subscription and find that. Next thing it says, what is your encryption setting? So the data, the certificate itself is used to encrypt and authenticate the transmission of data from your server up to Windows Azure. The data that's sitting in the Windows Azure data center itself, you want encrypted in case the NSA decides to go, hey, let's go and look at everybody's data in the cloud. And there's an interesting statistic is that since the NSA report has come out about what they're doing, cloud service providers are assumed to be losing something like $30 to $50 billion a year as people go, wow, we're not storing our data in the US anymore, even if it's encrypted. So the passphrase needs to be a minimum of 16 characters. Now, I use a simple one because I'm doing demos, and as we saw in the keynote, if you forget your passwords, things don't go well for you. See, I just screwed it up there. You can also save your passphrase, for example, to the desktop. So I register the server, it goes up to Windows Azure, it then goes and stores all the necessary information so that data can be sent up and encrypted. Now the thing is, unless you know that passphrase, even if you've got access to that recovery vault, you cannot recover data from it. So keeping that passphrase safe is important because you won't be able to restore your backups without it.
If you're the NSA, how easy is it to hack that passphrase?
There's a wonderful comment by a guy named who wrote a book called The Shadow Factory about the NSA. And he says that there's a room in the NSA where encryption specialists go in, and they call it the holy expletive room. And these are guys that know their mathematics, and they go in and they come out and they go, holy expletive, we didn't know you could do that. So the suspicion is that the NSA knows how to factor primes really well, and they haven't actually published that mathematics. And Bruce Schneier, who's an encryption, a good writer on encryption, says that don't necessarily assume that even what you consider to be strong encryption may not have actually, someone might have found a way around it. So is it, basically don't go and store your drug receipts up in this. Probably a bad idea. But in terms of protecting it against, say, other organisations, you will certainly have taken your due diligence. I'm just pie in the sky saying that there may be a supercomputer out there that we don't know about that cracks this sort of stuff for breakfast. So the main thing it's doing is it's like a safe. Encryption is like a safe. A safe cannot stop a determined person getting into it. It just really, really, really slows them down. Some of the claims that were made about encryption in the 90s, like, oh no, the heat death of the universe will come before this is cracked, made necessarily incorrect assumptions about, one, the speed of computing increase, and two, the mathematics behind encryption, because the mathematics behind encryption rely on a certain set of assumptions about how difficult a problem is to solve. You get someone really bright, and then suddenly something that was impossible to solve might become trivial to solve. So again, you're building a vault. And just, you make the vault as good as you can, and if someone breaks into it, which is extremely unlikely, you've at least said, well, we could not have protected this any better. And that's the best answer I can give you on that. So I would say it's more than good for what you can do with it.
And
what story makes you worry about the NSA? It's nerds. Nerds always worry about...
Personally, I don't give a shit. I'm just wondering, like, is that similar to a... private key, that passphrase?
Essentially it is, yeah. It's what's used to generate the... So it's one-time encryption, so it's not symmetrical... it's not asymmetric encryption, it's symmetric encryption.
Right.
So, of course, there's one... There's no public key, private... I mean, this is the key to decrypt.
Okay.
So there's no public key out there, it's just this is what you do to do that. which means that, yes, it's encrypted, but, yeah, I mean, you, beyond, within bounds of reason, this will protect you. Within bounds of science fiction, who knows? Okay, so now that we've registered that server, we can go and use it to do normal backup stuff, such as schedule a backup. So this looks very familiar. If you have used Windows Server Backup, you go and add items, such as, in this case, what I've done is I've created a folder called Critical Files. Critical Files has Important File 1, Important File 2, and the Research has Important Document 4 and Important Document 5. So I can go and select that. I can then go and configure exclusion settings. Exclusion settings is basically simply based on file name, what not to throw up. So here I can say, for example, on the C drive, anything that is aster.tmp, and then, for example, pardon? Well, I'm not going to put text because I've just gone and said I'm backing up text files, so that would make the demo die. Aster.mp3. But you understand how that works. So that goes and excludes those file types. Now I specify my backup time. So here I can say, right, I want to back up every day. I can back up, as we know from the question earlier, 3 times a day. So in terms of backups, I think it's usually good to back up before work. So let's say 6 a.m. at lunchtime and just after everybody's meant to have left the office. Now, remember, this is in conjunction with, this is not a replacement for your normal backups that are occurring at whatever schedule. This is where it's getting shunted up to Windows Azure. Retention settings, how long does it want to be kept in Windows Azure? So I can go up to 7, 15 or 30 days. I get my confirmation, I click finish. It goes and creates a backup schedule. So once that backup schedule is created, I can, of course, go and go backup now. It will use that particular schedule that I've created. I click backup, and what it does is it then takes a snapshot. It goes and does the encryption. Now, even though they're small, there's a whole lot of extra metadata around that that gets transferred up. So when you're transferring up, the transfer up is bigger than the pull down. So what this will, even though this is fairly small, this ends up being about 40 meg. So it encrypts it, it sets up the encrypted connection. So what, not only is it encrypted, the connection up there is then encrypted. The keys are not stored up on Windows Azure. So that's your other part of it. Can the NSA go and to Microsoft and say, can we have whatever passphrase they've put in? No, because it's not stored up there. The passphrase is only stored here. If you lose it, you can't go to Microsoft and say, what's our passphrase? They're going to go, we don't know. We don't store it.
Go to the NSA.
Go to the NSA. They're your really, really long-term storage, you know. So we see that the job's completed there, and we've got 45 meg of data backed up. Okay, so backups is only as good as the recovery that you do. So let's jump onto another server. Say our domain controller. So here's our domain controller. Let's go into the Azure console. It's not hotmail.com, it's outlook.com. Now, this server has just been, basically before you ever go and do a demo, or these sort of things, you get your VMs to a certain point, you snapshot them, then roll them back. So this is in a rolled back. So what we've got here is it's pulling up the Azure console. What I want to do is I want to go to recovery services here. I've got my Orin TechEd 2 vault here. What I do is I click manage certificate. Now on this one, I've already run makecert, so you don't need to see me do that command line. I click browse for file. I go to my C drive, I go to certs, and I see TechEd DC, so I click open on that. So what that does now is it goes and uploads the certificate that identifies this new server to Windows Azure. So that's now uploaded. So then I can go and click download agent. So save that on the desktop. Run that. So it'll now install the agent. No, so I could have pulled that agent off the other server. I could have created a shared file. It's just generally a good idea to keep pulling it off Windows Azure, because that way you're always going to ensure that you've got the latest version of the agent. So here, prerequisites, not going to use Microsoft Update, so it's all next, next, next install.
The agent's update.
Pardon?
The agent's update.
Yep, so check for newer updates. That's sitting there. And that will be updated also through your basically your standard Windows update. So now if we come back to the desktop, we will see we've got Windows Azure Backup sitting on the desktop. It initializes the agent, so what I need to do now is connect it to that Windows Azure subscription. So I click Register Server. First thing it does after asking me about a proxy is it says, where's your certificate? I click OK. Which backup vault do you want to use? Orentech Ed 2. What's your encryption setting? Now, this is the encryption setting for this new server. So I can use the same key or I can use a completely different key for this server, because what this is doing is this is saying for all backups taken on this server, use this new encryption key that I'm going to put there. When I'm doing a recovery, I have to specify the encryption key of the other server to pull that out. So because I'm, again, doing a demo, I basically use the same encryption key. Save it on the desktop.
Does that just save as a text file?
Yep, so let me show you that. So, yeah, basically. So this will go and register it with Windows Server Backup. Now, the other thing I didn't show you when I was doing, so here, if I just click on this, it'll open the text file and you can see that. I'm just using password. So, one of the things I didn't show you, with Windows Server Backup, you can, Windows Azure Backup and DPM, you can also throttle your backup. So if you've got a lot of data that's going up to Azure, you can actually specify how much bandwidth it's going to use. And in DPM, you can actually specify on-peak and off-peak times so that it'll actually use data in a different way. Okay, so now that I've gone and registered that server, what I can do is I can click Recover Data. So in this case, I say I want to recover from another server. And it says, okay, well, this is what the vault you're registered with. We've got a backup of TechEd Server 1, even though we're on TechEd DC. I can browse for files or search for files. I'll click Browse. It goes up, it contacts Windows Azure. It said, which volume do you want to hit? I want to say C. It goes and then works out what recovery points are up there. So I've only got the one recovery point, but if I'd taken more than one backup, there'd be more than one recovery point. I then specify which files I want to go and get. So if I go down into volume C, it goes back and queries Windows Azure, and I've got my critical files folder. Click Next. Where do I want to recover it? So in this case, what I'm going to do is recover it to this PC. Expand the local disk, create a new folder, call it Recovery. Now, do I want to create copies? So if I was doing an overwrite, basically, do I overwrite, do I create copies if there's an existing version, or do not recover items if they already exist? So this is basic standard backup and recovery stuff. Restore ACLs, exactly what you'd expect. Passphrase, so this needs to be the passphrase of the server that was originally backed up. Click Recover. It now goes out to Windows Azure, and it performs a recovery. So this is actually much shorter. So the first one you saw, because it had all of that sort of overhead, actually went up as 43 meg. But what you'll see here is that this is only a couple of kilobytes, simply because all I did was back up some fairly empty text files. So it takes a while, because again, it's going right over to the US to pull all this data.
Metadata overhead fixed.
Pardon? I suspect it's fixed. Mostly because this has been in trial, and I mean, I've been playing around with it and I've been backing up different sizes, and it always seems to have that sort of amount. So you see it's pulled 2 kilobytes there, which is basically bugger all. So if I now go into my C recovery, C volume critical files, there's my data. So that's backup, that's recovery using Windows Azure backup. So what I'll do now is I'll jump through a few slides on DPM and I'll do a DPM backup and recovery. So anybody who's ever been in a Jason Buffington, when Jason used to come over here and present, he's now at ESG, will have seen this. This is the always used in DPM. And the idea is that Data Protection Manager is Microsoft's solution for backing up Microsoft workloads. They designed it specifically because they found in their own data centers, when they were backing up Microsoft workloads using everybody else's products, back, I'm going to say back then, not necessarily now, this may have changed, but back in 2000 to 2004, they were getting 10, 15% failure rates. That is that either the backups would fail or the recoveries would fail when they tried to do that. So they said, we really can't have our customers having this sort of problem. We need to come up with something that's really, really good at backing up our stuff. Now, there's certainly better stuff that you can get out there that will give you more frequent backups and may offer you different features. The trick with System Center Data Protection Manager is if you own the System Center suite, it's all licensed as one. If you've got Config Manager, you own Data Protection Manager. If you've got Ops Manager, you own Data Protection Manager. So it's kind of, for a lot of people, something they already own that just might not be something they're necessarily aware of. It backs up, as we know, Exchange, SQL, SharePoint, Dynamics, Windows Server, right back to 2003, right through to 2012, R2, Windows Server File Services. It also does bare metal recovery. It also backs up VMs and a whole lot of other things. It can go straight to disk. It can go to Windows Azure Backup, which is what I'm going to concentrate on. It also can go to another DPM server off-site. You can also export to tape from DPM. So if someone comes to you and says, we need to look at what backup look like for a legal investigation on a certain day, what you do is you do an export to tape. It will export the backups at that point in time to tape that you then send off to the lawyers. So it's easy to go and create specific backup tapes, assuming they exist on the replica. So DPM server can predict 100 production servers. Again, sorry for the size of this slide. This is sort of one of the standard ones. You will also be able to download these off the event site. You can protect up to 80 terabytes of production data locally. A single central console can manage up to 100 DPM servers. There's a management pack for Operations Manager, and Microsoft manages their entire backup workload for their organization. Not Azure, that's done separately, but all of the Microsoft production servers is done through one Operations Manager console, because they've got about 50 DPM servers at Microsoft. So it scales because, again, Microsoft dog foods this stuff, they use it for their own stuff. Auto protect new databases, auto job rerun, and if there's errors, go and self-heal, auto grow storage on an as-needed basis. Faster backups for all data sources using Express Full. Express Full is essentially block-level backup. Single central console. 90% of actions can be done through the console, SLA-based alert maintenance, disk-to-tape, disk-to-disk-to-Azure. It also now is application-aware. It supports end-user recovery in some applications. For example, in SQL, you can actually use DPM, and the session I did last year was basically self-service backup and recovery using Service Manager. You went to a Service Manager website, and you said, oh, I want to go and put that SQL database into production, into protection. You'd choose your protection level, you can go and recover it and back it up using your own web console. It supports an Exchange DAG continuity, SharePoint protect at the farm level, recover at the item level. You can also do client protection, so you can actually have all of your clients in your organization and just back up organization data on your clients. And the thing I did again, a talk on client either last year or the year before. About 30-40% of organisational data actually resides on client computers and isn't backed up. So that's why DPM is actually fairly good at that, because it allows you to centralise client backup and you can protect 3,000 clients per DPM server. It's running Windows Vista, XP 7 and 8. Also has full support for deduplication in Server 2012. So if you've got Server 2012 and you've enabled dedupe, it's dedupe aware, so it will not go and rehydrate it as it backups. It'll go, ah, this is a deduplicated file, I'll just back that up. So in terms of cloud protection, it's application consistent. You can virtualize DPM completely. You can use VHDX storage, which is a new feature in Server 2012 R2. You can use synthetic fiber channel to provide support to your tapes library, if you've got a tape library. You can use an SQL cluster for the DPM database. You can use a VMM service template. There's a special one that allows you to basically spin out DPM servers in VMM from a template. You can also go and use Orchestrator Runbooks to completely automate the process of using and configuring DPM. You can also protect large-scale clusters using DPM scale-out. So, for example, if you've got a 64-node cluster with 4,000 databases, it can't be protected by a single DPM server, but what you can now do is you can actually point multiple DPM servers at it, and that will actually then go and consistently back up that SQL cluster. So, DPM 2012 in Azure, it's integrated off-site data protection to Azure. It basically fully, as you'll see in a moment, allows you to go in and configure it and then connect to your subscription. Now, it'll protect anything that DPM can protect and allow you to sync that out to Azure. Now, the way it works is when you're configuring a protection group, you specify your short-term goals, your long-term goals, if you've got a tape drive, and your online goals. So you can actually have different things in the same protection group backed up on different schedules to different locations. So you might be syncing every 15 minutes to disk and then going twice a day and syncing very specific data from that protection group up to Windows Azure. And that's the way it works. It does block level backup to Azure. So once again, it does that initial synchronization. You are only syncing changed blocks up to the cloud, you are not syncing changed files up to the cloud. You also can go into the Azure portal and, as I showed you before, see what is actually protected there, assuming you've got access. So you can back up multiple targets through one server. That's the advantage of DPM. So if you're using Windows as your backup, you've got to go and put Windows as your backup on each server. You've got to configure your backup schedule on each server and then allow each individual server to backup. With DPM, you've got it centrally. You go out and put clients on everything you want to backup. It comes into DPM. It goes to your local backup replica. It also then goes up to Azure. Let me show you how that works. So here I've got my DPM server. And I've already gone in, as you can imagine, and gone into the and created a certificate for it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and connect that certificate to the recovery vault. Now you can have Windows as your backup and DPM backup backup to the same recovery vault. There is no problem with that whatsoever. Because remember, it's just a container. You're paying for storage right across your subscription. You're not paying for it on a per container basis. Probably if you're a bit anal retentive about this, you probably want to go and put them in different containers, but it doesn't really matter. So here I go into recovery services. I go into my Orin Teched 2 backup vault. I go manage certificates. See, certs, Teched DPM. It'll now go and upload that certificate. So this will now have three certificates associated with it, that particular recovery vault. So now what I do is download the agent. Now, if you remember what I said that this particular agent is exactly the same agent for Windows as your backup and DPM. So save as, put it on the desktop. That comes down. I run that. So what it does now is it goes and installs just the agent. But it detects that DPM is on there and will not go and install that little application. So I don't want to use Microsoft Update. Click install, blah, 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 blah. So Now I go into System Center Data Protection Manager. I go into Management and I go Register. So I've got this Register option. I click Browse. I select my Tekkid DPM certificate. I select my backup vault that I want to back up to. So in this case, I say Orin Tekkid 2. Now, the reason I got 2 there was that DPM detected that there was an existing backup vault from when I was doing my prep. And it said, oh, well, you've used that same certificate to register here. You can go and use multiple here. Do I want to use a proxy? No. Do I want to throttle my backups? Yes or no. Where do I want to do recovery? So when it's pulling it down from Windows Azure, before it's pushing it out to wherever it wants to put it, I need to specify a folder that can be used for local recovery. So this is basically takes the encrypted blob, so I can just go and call that recovery. So all data will be written to recovery before it's then pushed out to wherever I've told it to be. Again, a passphrase. I've actually, at home, I use one of those Razer gaming keypad thingamajigs, and I put all of my scripts and things like that, so I've actually got to the stage where I'm using a light-up. It's a lot easier than remembering what passwords you are, because you go, oh, I know, it's Shift-4, bang, that's my password for that particular server. So you can use a gaming key console for systems administration. Just put all your script, anything you've got to type a couple of times, no, just put it in one of those gaming orbs or something like that. So it's now gone and registering the server. So now that it's registered the server, let's go and protect some stuff. So let's go to protection groups. We'll go and create myself a new protection group. So it's a server protection group. Now in this case, what I want to do is I want to go and back up Tekkid server 1. So I've got my DPM server there. You've got Tekkid server 1 over there. And this is the advantage of DPM, of course, is that you can do remote backup. So here I'm saying I want to back up, of course, critical files. Now, if I wanted to with DPM, I could do bare metal recovery backup, I could do system state, I can do everything. So if I wanted, I could get that entire server and then go and push that up into Windows Azure. But in this case, I'm not interested in doing that. Or what I could do is I could go and do a full backup bare metal recovery of this server, but then only back, and that'll go to my local storage, but then only back up specific files to Windows Azure. So I can have local storage, full server recovery, only the files on the file share getting synced up to Azure. And I configure separate things for that. So here, protection group name, I want to use short-term protection using disk, and I want online protection. So I've got that option there to turn on online protection. If I had a tape drive connected, I could go and use that as well. So I could back up to 3 locations with 1 protection group. So we'll call that demo protection group. So here is my disk-based protection. So I specify what my retention is there, and I might say 180 days, backing up every 15 minutes. And that'll give me an assessment of what that's going to look like. Then I specify, do I want to go and create a replica now or later? And I'll say that's fine now. Run a consistency check. This is again my short-term protection. Now it's saying, what do you want to back up to the cloud? You've chosen all this stuff to back up locally. Do you want to back it up to Azure? And I say yes, go and back up that particular set of items to Azure. Now my online protection settings, I can sit here and go to, say, for example, 120 days. The trick with Azure is you can do 2 times a day. If you go to 2 times a day, your retention range comes down to 60 days. So here I'm saying, okay, I'm syncing every 15 minutes to my local backup point. But what I'm going to do is once a day have my critical data also pushed off-site to Windows Azure. So I'll have that happen at 9 p.m. Summary, create group. So what it does is it goes and creates a group. It goes and then creates a replica, and it updates the online backup policy. So that's creating the protection group, and that protection group is now in effect. So now that we've got that protection group, what I can do is I can go and create a recovery point. Now I can create a recovery point using short-term disk protection or online protection. I click OK, and what it does, fail. Well, that usually works. So let's just create a normal recovery point using disk first. No, okay, I've done something wrong in setting up that recovery point. Oh, okay, sorry. There we go, let's try this again. Okay, so now that's going up and it's creating a synchronization up to Windows Azure. I was going way too fast there. I was just looking at the clock thinking, I just want to get through this demo. So that'll go and create that. And of course, when you're recovering using DPM, you can recover to any location that's got the DPM agent installed on it. So pulling recovery is exactly the same. So that's obviously going up and doing that now. But if I wanted to do a recovery, yep, question?
So just on that, so if we back it up files with DPM.
Yes.
No,
so in this case, the DPM client and the Azure client are quite separate. So if you're backing up and recovering using the Windows Azure client, that's fine, but you can't recover using another client because it doesn't have those connection in. Yep.
So if you're using DPM to manage the process,
yes.
Does that mean that you only need to register the DPM instance with your Azure vault? Or do you...
No, that's it. All you need to do, and if you want to go, and let's say your DPM server explodes, you can go and install another DPM server, create another certificate, register it with the same vault, and then you've got access to all that data as long as you've got the passphrase.
So that also means that the server that you're backing up doesn't need the Azure backup client either, does it? It just needs the DPM client.
Just needs the DPM client, yeah. So this, you've only got one as your backup client. It's only sitting on one server. You can be backing up 100 other servers, but you only need the Azure client on this one. So it all comes in through this, and then this goes up to the cloud. So that's created the recovery point. And recovery is, as you'd imagine, fairly straightforward. You go in here and you say, what do I want to recover? So I've got that there. Got my critical Isles recovery folder, so I just click recover. It says, what do you want to do? Recover files. What kind of recover? Recover to an alternate location. For example, in this case, what I'll do is I will go and put it on the DPM server in the certificates directory. So volumes, C, cert, click OK. Next, specify recovery options, create recovery, apply security, blah, blah, blah. Summary. Click recover. Now the thing is, because of the way that this is already registered, it's already got its password, it's not going to go back and double ask me for that because I'm recovering and backing up from the same server. It's only if I'm coming in from another server that I've got to go and enter that passphrase to worry about the encryption to the backup vault. So as you can see, this again takes a minute or two just because of the size of the data. Is there any other questions? Yep.
When you initially set this up in the personal folder or the stores,
yes.
What is the relationship or what is the purpose of that folder?
Okay, so what happens is that's let me just show you that this is all verified that this has come down and I'll just then answer the question. So again, C, certs, and then we've got critical files, accounting, research, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the purpose of that recovery folder is it's like a staging folder. All it does is it's when the data's being pulled down, that's where it essentially decrypts it, and then it goes out and pushes it wherever it's got to go. So I would put that on a separate volume. I would not keep it, I obviously put it on the system volume, but this is a silly demo, this is not production. Cool, any other questions? Yep.
The data that's stored in the recovery vault is browsable through Azure?
No, all you'll see is that you'll see the folders that are protected, but you will not see any of the data that's in there.
And anyone else?
No, you can't even see it.
No,
because it's an encrypted blob. So there's a bit of metadata at the top saying, oh, this is this folder, and it'll be like a descriptive thing of what's there. but it won't be as browsable as it is, say, through the DPM console. Yep.
Pros and cons to SQL Store and any integration code?
Sorry?
Pros and cons to SQL Store device?
Compared to Azure?
Yeah.
Compared to online? I wouldn't know enough about Simple Store to answer the question. Okay, yep. Anybody else? Okay, hopefully see you tomorrow morning in my session on Minecraft. Otherwise, thank you very much for your time. Please fill out an evaluation.